Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
As we think about Ministry Expo Sunday, we're really thinking about the importance of serving others. If we don't watch out, when we come to church, it's all about us, right? That's a lot of Christians all across America right now. When they come to church, they think that it is all about them, when in reality, it ought to be all about the Lord Jesus who saved us and ministering to the needs of others. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4? We've been walking through the book of Philippians since May of last year. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 4, Paul says this, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, don't always be thinking about yourself and about your own needs, but focus on others and focus on meeting the needs of other people. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In Matthew chapter 20, if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we find Jesus giving us two different mindsets that we read about here in Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to read verse 25 down to verse 28 to give you a little bit of the setting of the verses that I'm about to read. There is a mother here, the mother of Zebedee's children, back in verse 20, that is asking the Lord Jesus to put both of her sons in prominent positions during the Messianic kingdom. Now, if you remember anything at all about the disciples, they loved to argue amongst themselves about who is the greatest. Which one of us is the greatest of all disciples? Well, here you have a mother, probably a well-meaning mother, loved her children, loved her two boys, wanted to see those two boys in prominent positions. But I want you to notice how Jesus responds in verse 25. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." The word translated minister there is diakonos. It means servant. If you want to be great in the eyes of God, be a servant. A little bit different than what the world around us teaches, right? But Jesus says, be a servant. Then look at verse 27. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." This time, it is a different Greek word. It is the word doulos, the lowest form of a slave. That's what the word was used for, a doulos. He says, if you want to be great in the eyes of God, then you need to be a diakonos. You need to be a servant. If you want to really be somebody, be a doulos. Well, that was a paradox in that day and time, because to say that a doulos, the lowest form of slaves, was an important person would be like, what? No, he's just a doulos. He's nothing. Well, Jesus thinks differently than the rest of the world, does he not? To think like Jesus means you're going to have to think differently. And he says here, be a minister, be a servant. Verse 28, why? Why should we have this kind of a mindset? "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." I believe you would agree with me that Jesus leaves no doubt as to which mindset he expects all of us to have. The term Gentiles there in verse 25 is obviously a term referring to a non-Jewish person. But many times throughout the New Testament, the word is used to refer to an unbeliever in general. And that's exactly the way Christ is using it here. Christ is saying that the average unbeliever is only thinking about himself. The average person out there in the world today is not thinking about how to serve others, but rather how others can serve them. But we as believers, we should not have that kind of mindset. But it shall not be so among you, is what Jesus says in verse 26. Christ is saying that we, as his followers, we have to think differently and we have to live differently than the average unbeliever out there in the world. Do you understand that as a Christian? You're supposed to think differently and live differently than the world out there. We're not supposed to be the same as the world out there. We're supposed to be distinctively different. By the way, changed thinking results in changed living. One of the reasons why I am so focused on preaching and teaching the Word of God consistently week in and week out is because I want to change the way that you think. If I can change the way that you think, maybe I should say that differently. If God can change the way that you think, then God will change the way that you live. You see, changed thinking always results in changed living. If we think the way Christ tells us to think, we will live the way Christ wants us to live, right? I want to think like Jesus so that I can live the way that Jesus wants me to live. By the way, the only way to know how Christ wants us to think is by reading the Bible, right? You say, oh, I'd love to be like Jesus. How do I think like Jesus? How do I live like Jesus? Get into the book and you'll find out. The reason why we need to be reading our Bibles every day, day in and day out, not taking a break, not saying, well, I don't need to read the Bible this week. No, no, no. We need to read the Bible every day so that we face the day. We read it. I love reading my Bible in the morning. I don't know about you, but that's the best way to start the day is to read the Word of God, and you got your mind saturated with the truth of God's Word, and then you go out and live your life for the day, right? And you live it in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ because you've already read. You've read His book, and you've learned how you need to think and how you don't need to think. You cannot ignore the Bible. You cannot ignore the Word of God and think and live the way that Christ wants you to think and live. Christ tells us here in Matthew chapter 20 that we should be focused on serving others. Contrary to what the world says, if we want to be great in the eyes of God, we have to embrace and we have to exemplify the position of a servant. Now, let me give you a heads up, because our old flesh, that is our old Adamic nature, does not want to be a servant. We don't like the idea, that old flesh inside of us does not like the idea of serving others. We want people to what? Serve us, right? That's just the old way of thinking. And there's something inside of all of us, even here today, that would say, I don't want to be a servant. I don't want to serve others. I want people to do something for me. Our flesh wants others to serve us. Now, let me explain how this happens when we come into church. Our flesh will say, church is all about me. That's what our flesh says. We come into church and we say, this is all about me today. It's all about what I like. And if I don't like it, I don't want you doing it. If I like it, I want you to be doing it. And it becomes all about us. Whereas the indwelling Holy Spirit whispers, hey, it's not all about you. It's about meeting the needs of others. This service today is not about you. It's about Jesus, and it's about meeting the needs of His people here in this church. You see, when we come to church, we need to quit thinking about ourselves and start thinking about the needs of others. Now back to the book of Philippians that we have been studying for so long. Because the book of Philippians is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Philippi. And by the way, it is a book of joy. It is a book that is full of joy, which is ironic because Paul was under house arrest when he wrote this letter. He was facing impending death, and yet the book of Philippians is a book of joy. As a matter of fact, some form of the word joy appears 14 times in the letter. But not only is this a letter, that is the book of Philippians, not only is it a letter about joy, but it's also a letter about the importance of serving others. The admonition all throughout the book of Philippians that we've been studying is that we are to serve others the way that Christ serves us. Now here's the connection I want to make. You ought to write this down somewhere, and it's this: joy comes as we serve others. Joy comes as we serve others. Write that down in your Bible somewhere, or write it somewhere where you'll never forget that statement. Joy comes as we serve others. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but selfish church members are not very happy people. You ever run into a few of those? They're selfish. It's all about them. They're never happy about anything. Church members who are self-serving, church members who are critical and judgmental and argumentative and always wanting their way, they are not fun people to be around. Amen? They're not. Those kind of people are only thinking about themselves. But church members who are committed to serve others are an incredible blessing for everybody that they come in contact with. I love being around people like that because they're not talking about themselves. They're not focused about what they want. They don't see that church is all about them. Instead, they come to church knowing that this is about Jesus and it's about serving others and meeting the needs of others. And they realize there is great joy, great blessing in serving others. They are the ones who have experienced the truth of what Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The world around us says just the opposite. Look at that verse. The world says it is more blessed to receive than to give, right? That's the world in which we live. It's not about giving, it's about what can I get. But Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, by the way, Jesus is the very Son of God, right? And so, since Jesus is God, this statement has to be true, even though it seems like a paradox, even though it seems like there's no way it can be true. It is true because God cannot lie. Amen? And he says here, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, often we look at this verse right up here, and we only think about finances, right? Because of what? That word give. Sometimes when we think about the word give, all we're thinking about is money. You say, well, the preacher's just going to now veer off and talk about money. Nope, I'm not going to talk about money today. You say, thank God. Yeah, you can use this verse to talk about the financial giving that ought to take place in a church like ours. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is true. But I want you to think about the application in a broader way. What about giving of your time? Oh, we're not talking about money now. We're talking about what? Time. This card, really, and I'll talk more about it in a minute, it is about giving of your time. What about giving of your effort, your energy? What about giving of your talents and your abilities to not only serve the Lord, but to meet the needs of others? Do you realize that Jesus could have easily said here, it is more blessed to serve than to be served? Now, we said earlier, it's more blessed to what? To give than to receive. Well, he could have easily said it is more of a blessing to serve others than to have others serve me. So here's my point. Jesus makes it absolutely clear that he wants us to devote ourselves to giving and to serving others. The Apostle Paul also makes it absolutely clear that we are to devote ourselves to giving and serving others. Both emphasize that when we sacrificially serve others, we will experience incredible joy and happiness in our lives. The question here this morning is this: will we commit ourselves to serve others? Will you make the commitment today? That's what this card is all about. In a sense, we call it a service interest card. In other words, you're showing your interest in a certain ministry. But in a lot of ways, it is a commitment card. You're saying, here's my name, here's my number, here's my email address. Yes, I am interested in committing myself to serve in one of these ministries that are listed here on this card. Will you commit yourself to serve others? Will you come to the place in your life where you realize church is not all about you, it's about others? It's about others. I want to challenge you here today with what I call a 90-day challenge. Okay? 90-day challenge. And it is a challenge that has a threefold aspect to it. All right? I want to give you the challenge here today. It's an easy challenge. Very, very easy. Don't get panicky on me, okay? You say, oh boy, preacher's putting forth a challenge here today to all of us. 90-day challenge. Here's the first part of the challenge. What if we commit to not complain or to say anything negative about our church for 90 days? What if we don't complain? We don't complain. And we don't say anything negative about our church for 90 days. Now, for the vast majority of us, that's going to be a piece of cake. Because we love our church. We love this ministry. We realize it's not a perfect ministry. By the way, I could find something that goes wrong here every week. But today, we're taking this challenge. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say anything negative. Now, this is going to be a challenge for some people because some people gripe and complain about something every week here at the church. All the time about something they don't like. I tell you, we preachers are supposed to be nice people. But sometimes you just feel like screaming, shut up! You know? Just shut up. That's what you feel like saying. But we're preachers. We don't do that. It's inside that we scream that, okay? But often it's just constant complaining. Never happy about anything. Always saying something negative about them. What if we took the challenge here today and we say, this is a wonderful church that God's allowed us to be a part of. Amen. It's a great church. God's doing some wonderful things here. And we're not going to say anything negative about this church for 90 days. Now, that doesn't mean after 90 days you can fill up a page full of everything you've listed. Oh, I have my list. Boy, once this 90 days is done, I'm going to let her rip. No, don't do that. The idea is to get in the habit of coming in and finding positive things. Finding positive things. God's doing a whole lot more positive around here than we are negative. Take the challenge here today and say, I'm not going to complain about anything. I'm going to come. I'm going to realize that it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And it's about serving and meeting the needs of other people. Number two. What if we commit to not ask anything from our church for 90 days? What if you don't view the church as an organization to do something for you, but instead you do something for the organization, for the church that you belong to? How many of you remember the inaugural address that John F. Kennedy gave, let's see, January 20th, 1961. I had to look at the date because that was 5 years before I was born. I was born in 1966. How many of you heard that speech? Maybe you watched it on television, all right? Yeah, a lot of you, your hands are going up. Do you remember what he said? He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Y'all remember that? You remember hearing that? You do, don't you? Back in 1961. Well, I'm going to steal his statement and I'm going to turn it around. And I'm going to say this. Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. Big difference. You can come in here thinking it's all about you every week and, hey, do this for me. What about this? What about that? And you just... What if we come to church and we realize it's not about me? And today I'm not going to complain about anything at all. And at lunch I'm not going to complain about anything at all. I know what Baptist church members do at lunch. Now, how did you feel about that one song we did today? Or how did you feel about the preacher's message? Or I noticed that so-and-so, and we chewing. You have barbecue preacher for lunch. Ask not what your church can do for you, but instead ask what you can do for your church. God's placed you here for a reason. You're not here by accident, folks. You're not. You say, oh, I just so happened to be a member of Canton Baptist Temple. I just so happened to be in attendance today here to worship with you at Canton Baptist Temple. There's no accidents for a Christian, just divine appointments. God has you here for a reason. And can I tell you something? You are here not to sit, soak, and get sour. Because a lot of you just come and you're spectators. God wants you to participate. He wants you to get involved. He's brought you here, and you are uniquely gifted so that you can serve the Lord here in our church. And that brings me to my third part of the challenge. What if we commit to serve at least 1 hour a week here in our church? Commit to serve at least 1 hour a week. What if for 90 days, that would be March, April, May, what if we commit to be focused on meeting the needs of others? Now, I'm not naive to think that I will get all of you to participate in this challenge. I understand that. But I believe you would agree with me that what we're talking about is pretty minimal. Don't complain. Don't say anything negative. Don't come asking what the church can do for you, but instead realize you're here. Let me do something for the church. And then get involved in at least serving the Lord here at this church 1 hour a week. That's pretty minimal when you think about it. God's given you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm asking you today, will you take the challenge to serve the Lord at least 1 hour a week here at your church? What if the majority of our members committed themselves to this challenge today? Now, again, I'm not naive enough to think that everybody's going to take the challenge, but what if the vast majority of people did? I want you to know that there are a lot of ways you can serve here at Canton Baptist Temple. Can I mention a few? Most of them are right here on this card. You could be a part of our music ministry and sing in the choir or play a musical instrument up here, right? I was talking with a couple this past week and they were going to be out of town today and they said, we know this is Ministry Expo Sunday and we hate that we're not going to be there. And then the wife spoke up and said, but I want you to know I'm interested in one of the ministries that's been listed here. And I said, well, all right, if you're not here, give me your name and I'll be glad to tell the head of that department what your name is and that you have an interest in serving that area. And I said, what area is it? And she said, I actually want to play the violin. Richard, you play the violin. I want to play the violin up in the orchestra for the music ministry. And she said, I'm interested in doing that. All of us are gifted in some way. Some have multiple gifts. You can get involved in a lot of different areas of ministry. But we're trying to rebuild our music ministry, and Robert Ballard's doing a wonderful job and heading us in the right direction. And what about working behind the scenes? You say, well, I wouldn't feel comfortable up here on the platform. I don't want to be in front of a class. I'm more of a behind the scenes type of person. We've got our audio visual department, people that work in the sound. And of course, if you want to be really public, just do a really bad job on the sound. Then you're really public at that point. But anyway, that's a side note. But sound ministry, screens, TV ministry, a lot of things that you can do behind the scenes to serve the Lord here at our church. What about working in the nursery or the toddler department? I'll tell you, when my kids were younger, I thanked God for those people that worked with my kids. Amen. You got to come to church and put them in there, and then you got to have an hour of sanity, amen? An hour where you can focus on worshiping the Lord and studying His Word together. What about teaching a Sunday school class or being a helper in a children's ministry? You could work in our transportation ministry. You saw earlier where Steve Sauls was talking about that. You could be a driver. You could be a bus captain. You could maybe even wash and clean the buses or the vans. You could be a greeter here. Maybe work at one of the information desks, and you could help people to find their way around this complex. If you've been here for any length of time, maybe you know where everything is. But for a new person, this place is big. And they come in here and they get lost. They don't know which way to go, and they don't know where the north hallway, south hallway, and what, man, they just don't know any. And you know what? We need people that'll take those people under their arm and say, I'll show you where it is. Come with me. Follow me. I'll take you there. Or we say, let me answer some questions about that ministry. You're looking for this ministry. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You could help your ABF teacher by calling members maybe that have been absent from class, or maybe calling prospects on the list, or someone who's been sick in the class. You can help your ABF teacher. If you belong to an ABF class, you ought to be helping your teacher to build that class. You could help in preparing or serving a meal for one of our funeral dinner teams. You could be a part of our quilting ministry, our sports ministry, our Forever Young ministry, our exceptional class ministry. You might be able to serve in a variety of different areas. Maybe you would be willing to work in our student ministry, in our middle school or our high school, or maybe even the college level. We're in desperate need of some sharp young couples and young adults that'll come alongside of our young people and be a great example to them and teach them about what it means to be a Christian. On and on I could go, but you get the idea. We have a lot of opportunities for people to get involved in serving the Lord here at this church. This is a place full of opportunities. There is a place for you to get involved, a place for you to minister here at our church. The problem, though, is that most of us will come to church not looking for ways to serve others, but simply coming looking for ways that others can serve us. Imagine what could happen if all of us took the 90-day challenge. What would happen to our church? I believe not only would it change the life and the ministry of our church, but I believe it would change us individually.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.